Okay. On the agenda, it says XML, couple of cell, latching, visual debugging. Let's leave latching and visual debugging for after the break, and XML on a couple of cells now. Always a bit difficult to choose what to present, but there are a couple of new things that, well, let's say, showed up last year, and actually all these things are based on user demands. So just to give you an idea about how things go in context, I just in time remembered that I had implemented this one. There was somebody who asked, I forgot who wanted to do this lorem ipsum stuff. And he said, yeah, there's some kind of LaTeX module that does that kind of stuff. And
2, 3, 4 packages.
Okay, lots of packages that do that stuff.
Lipsum and whatever, yeah.
Okay, so I said, well, this is so trivial, I can better just write it than trying to answer the question. So this is an example of a module. It might be nice to see how less code is needed for this kind of stuff. And it's also an example of typically something that I nowadays do in Lua, tech, in using Lua and not so much in... So it's about... There is a stop here. Yeah. About 150 lines of code. Now there's one thing that maybe users haven't noticed yet, but there had been a time that when I wrote a module and I made an example, that you could say, okay, run this module with --- equals demo. It was true for some of the presentation styles. It's now slightly different. Now, if you run the module, it will automatically run the demo. If I run this module, I will get some demo results. And it's simply, well, as you can see, it continues if the input file is itself. So that's how it's done. So there's no need anymore to give the, at least for the modules that are already cleaned up, to use this --demo thing. So every time you see at the end of the file some examples, you can run it like this from the editor. Okay, so what do we have here? Just to give you an idea about how something like this is implemented. I define a new... This is nothing that the average user should do, but it gives an idea about if you ask for a feature, that some of these features are relatively easy to implement. You define a namespace and install a command handler. Command handler is something that automatically takes care of a lot of definitions and setups and inheritance and things like that. Forget about this. This is a namespace I just created. This is the command I will define. This is the C prefixing stuff. It's the, in context, the way to define user interface dependent commands. Your context has, what you see here is mostly the English user interface, but there are some 6 or 7 other language interfaces. So if you want, you can have German commands or Czech commands or Persian commands, or even Arabic interface, things like that. Set up a couple of defaults. Install an action handler, which will define the command for me. Here I define what happens. Forget about what I do here, yeah? Just to give you an idea. And this is a shortcut for using it in special cases. So this way I've implemented the lorem ipsum stuff. And the reason why I use Lua is that it's... users said, I want to typeset this text. Can we add lorem ipsum dot tech or whatever to distribution? I said, no, I don't want to do that. If you want to do it, you want to have random samples, you want to have the first and the last sentence, or only 3 sentences, or you want a random subset of the words used in such a quote. And of course, you want to use every possible text you want. So this is how a command like that ends up. Let's comment this. So by default, I want alternative paragraph. That means I get a paragraph. Want some space before, want some space after. and the language is Latin. Just a few hours ago, I found out. Wait a minute. If I use a Latin example, I actually need Latin hyphenation.
In Latin, there is no hyphenation.
Yes, there are Latin hyphenation patterns.
Really?
Yes.
Strange.
Well, in Deaf Life there are. In the Middle Ages, maybe they started using hyphenation. I don't know.
Only after Gutenberg, yes.
I think because if it might be just be used if you use these classical, you know, these the thing that Thomas is doing. I think they just, if they want to have it in columns or whatever, they just use it. You don't start stretching spaces there. Okay, so here you have a, and actually there are quite some. So this is a different variant. Okay, I want alternative lines, and I want two lines, so I get two arbitrary lines from this text. And the reason why I added that kind of stuff is that, okay, if you have some kind of demo mode for text, then it's also handy to have them in titles and subtitles and whatever, and that's why the lines option is there. The alternative lines, and it's two. You can ask for words. Because if you make tables, you sometimes want only one word. Here I ask for all of them, but you can ask for a number of words. You can have your own favorite ipsum. So this is Ward. This is one of the standard. Where is he? Oh, I've only defined it. This one. I define one and I call it up. Because, and this is typically the context way of doing things. You define something and then you ask for it. If I'm setting up a demo style, I set up all the quotes and whatever I want in the beginning, and then later on I just call a colon and not in the middle of my document start defining things that are actually more abstract. Okay, so another one was the one doing itemize. Oh yeah, here I generate an itemized. So again, this is random sentences, probably taken from this quote or any quote, and wrapped in something that makes it into an itemized. So in fact, you can set up a complete demo document using some arbitrary text, and it might be useful for some users. I'm not sure if I use it myself, because you know the biggest problem with this kind of stuff is that if a designer makes a document for you, designs a style, and it uses always this lorem ipsum stuff, and not the real thing, the specification in 99% of the cases is completely wrong, because it doesn't take into account all the typical boundary cases that you have. It's always possible to typeset a piece of Latin. Yeah? In Czech, it's really trivial. It always typesets it nicely. But practice is, of course, that you have a lot of more fidgets than text or that kind of stuff, or completely weird masks that doesn't fit in anywhere. And that's definitely something different than Latin. Yeah, so this is one of the new modules that's there.
Can keep some file contain images?
I think so. The interesting question. Yeah, well, what that would be in there. I parsed the paragraph, so I split it into lines and words and whatever. So you probably, if you want to have that kind of bogus stuff, there is, I have to update that module. There is a visual debugger, one of the visual debugger modules that can generate random masks and random images and random whatever. And for Moisai, it can generate a random thesis. And yeah. What was it for this German thing? It can
Gutenberg.
Yes, we added random citations too. Yeah. So
yes.
Anyway.
You know Bavaria Ipsum? Just
Okay, but this is, it is, users can always extend this kind of stuff, because it's typically a kind of things that that you do if somebody asks that at, let's say, Friday 5 o'clock, something that you do between 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And okay, another thing is, I think it was also a user question, but I've forgotten why and when. It probably relates to the, there's a database module that somebody wanted to do some stuff with the database thing. So there's a module that deals with spreadsheets, sort of makes spreadsheets. There's actually a manual. So on the website there's a manual, simple spreadsheets, that describes the whole thing. So for those complaining that there are never new manuals, this is a new manual. It's also in the proceedings, I think. Why, if a question like this comes up, I make such a module? Because it's a nice demonstration about mixing Lua and Lua usage and tech. So even if it can be applied to context, everybody can use it, write that kind of stuff him or herself, once he knows what the principles are. So this is a spreadsheet. Yeah, where a couple of cells and they're summarized. You don't have to do that yourself. So I just enter some input there and summarize these two cells. Mm-hmm. Here summarize the other things. Now you might wonder why this is handy, and the thing is that of course I ask myself the question, well, will I ever use it? But when writing the manual, I thought, oh wait a minute, this is handy when you have to write, for instance, bills. Yeah, where you have to add value, added tax and other kind of stuff. Then you say, okay, make a table, have a couple of numbers there, and automatically add the value, added tax and get the total.
Hans?
Yeah?
Question, can you put those examples on the server?
These examples are in the proceedings. There is, however, one thing to keep in mind. In the proceedings, you can also see how you can configure it. There are things like forms. You can do some simple formatting and other things. You can have a kind of table where you mix text with numbers and things like that, because that's what you normally will do. There is, however, one thing that you need to keep in mind. We are now looking at tech code and doing things at the tech end. And I still find myself doing things at the tech end, then after a while I say, wait a minute, I could as well do it in Lua. There's no reason to do it at the tech end. Because number, addition, the whole mess is of course done more easily in a programming language than, well, it's not done in tech either in the other way, but then, well, looking at it from the tech perspective. So this is also an a good example for, let's say, somebody who looks at context first time. In a context document you can mix tech and Lua code, and the whole context interface is available at the Lua end. So in theory you can write your whole document in Lua using all the context commands that are there. So I mentioned tables, this is the other table mechanism. And so instead of saying / table, at Lua I call the function context b table, and then context enter table at the end, table row and table row, this is a cell. Where does the d come from in HTML? Td table data. Yeah, must be data or something. In fact, it's a cell. And now I just, the context command without any function specifier, just called as function, just outputs what it gets, and it's this number. Yeah, so it outputs that number, and here Lua does the summation for me, it outputs the sum. Of course, in the other example, also Lua does the summation, but you know, naive users will always look at it as tech code and say tech is doing it for me. And this is a slightly different way of thinking. If you, well, now I get this kind of output, and again, it's just a matter of what you like most. But if you are doing, it's always good. If most of your effort sits at the calculation end, you do it that way. And if most of the effort sits at the tech input end, you forget about the few Lua calls and do it the tech way. So here we can do things like this. I can format it. It still looks the same between two numbers, but I can. If you want more digits, I do this. So you have all the tech, all the Lua, the whole Lua repertoire available, and at this level. The spreadsheet module is another example of something new. And I expect that there will be quite some more new stuff like this, because it's relatively easy.
Can you align the dots?
Well, it depends on what you want to align to, of course, but if all these numbers, then you just add formatters for all the numbers. That's one way of aligning. And I'm not sure, actually the table mechanism in general has alignment function. I'm not sure if I build it in this one. Yeah, I more or less assume that if you are talking about, let's say, euros or whatever, you have just two digits and you flush it to the right. But in Lua, you can do quite some alignment, actually. There is this percentage 0.5 float. This is more or less a standard C wave. But you can also align text. You basically do a double alignment here. Because if you use the string specifier, so if this is an S and a string specifier, I can do things like this, or minus. It will flush to the left or the right and align. So at the Lua end, you can definitely do it. The flowchart module at the tech end can also do this kind of formatting. Yeah. So as long as this formatter can handle it, you can align anything. Yeah.
Can you import tables from another spreadsheet from a separate value or something like that?
Yes, there's in fact. Because it's Lua, it can load anything. So say that I have a, let's take this example then. I have to make one, let's stay in the same pass. I have a table. This is a table with two values. I just show a few. You can figure out this yourself. So this is a table with two values. So it's now a matter of where am I? I don't need this one anymore. I don't need this one also. It goes wrong. They boo. Yes, so I load a table. This is one of the helpers that is built in. And here you see I inspect it, so just to make sure that I've imported it. So it's here, yeah? It's there. So now I could actually do something like that. So now I've used these values.
Okay.
And there are all kinds of, I can show it if you're interested. So actually, Bernd can show you how to deal with comma separated. Because I wrote yesterday, I wrote him the splitter for his data.
Yes.
So you will demonstrate him the comma separation later, yeah?
Okay.
Because it's a matter of reading in, a bit of parsing, splitting, and then you have this table and could do that kind of stuff. The nice thing is, and that's really something to keep in mind, of course you can say, I go to all kinds of intermediate steps, but Lua is so fast that even if the tables are multi-megabytes, yeah, it doesn't matter. Just load at runtime and do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you have everything in one place. And that's really an advantage. So your manipulation, you might be tempted to say, oh, I have to do all kinds of calculations. I do that once and save it in a file. Forget about it. Just do it runtime. It's so fast. There's no need to keep stuff on disk anymore if you can just take the whole data collection and do things with it. Okay. There was one example yesterday that I have actually prepared because I found that I should show something new, and new means show something of the things that I'm working on nowadays, today, so that users know what will end up in upcoming context releases. There's a bit of variation on this theme. Because what I'm currently doing, I have for one of the projects, actually two of the projects that we have, I have to deal with data from databases, SQL. So what you now see show up in context distributions are styles and modules that deal with SQL data. I don't know how many of you have ever done things with databases. Nobody?
Everybody.
I'm just one of the last. I think I never had any need to do it. I always did things with files. The nice thing is that definitely on Windows. I don't know if there's a counterpart on Unix, but is the MySQL workbench on Unix?
Yeah,
because I really like it. It's a very handy tool to.
But there's something new like MariaDB, which is some kind of speed up version.
Okay, I've heard about, but not tried it.
Yeah.
The nice thing about this is that you can edit these tables or things like that. You can easily, because that's what you need when you. Are writing this kind of stuff. So it's also because there is a little bit of history behind writing this kind of stuff. So okay, I had this project, and at some point I need to get stuff out of SQL databases, actually also put it in there, but get it out. And so I played a bit with it. The first thing that I did was actually because it had to replace visualizations generated by these automatic, there are a lot of scripts that can generate visualizations, they all look like crap, these bitmap stuff, yeah, these pie charts made out of bitmaps. But of course that should be done with MetaPost, so I experimented a bit with MetaPost, so I think on the next meeting I will show some of this visualization stuff with MetaPost, because when I had the proof of concept I could go further with the SQL end. Now the thing is, how do you integrate SQL support in tech? To be honest, it's not entirely trivial. And the reason is that, first of all, you take this tool, let's say MySQL, let's focus on MySQL, I think it applies to other database machineries as well. And say, okay, let's start using the client, because that's at least something you can try on the command line. And one of the first things you find out that there is all kinds of funny escaping going on. So you need to take care of escaping issues that of course are completely different from tech ones. It is actually a bit later in the project that I found out that one of the hardest things that you have to fight is all these automatic encoding conversions that go on in these database engines. I'm still not sure what is the most robust way to get something in as is and out as is, because they love to map on other encodings and other kinds of stuff. Even UTF does not necessarily get out unharmed. Anyhow, I started with the client, which is easy. You can write an SQL script, you execute it, you get back some data. And then the first thing that you have to do is you get this basically this top separated list, not comma separated list. So the first thing I did is I wrote converters. Converters that take this input, convert it into a big table. It's rather trivial, and then I found out it is actually pretty fast. That the combination Tech Lua, even large amounts of data, is enormous, fast thing. So again, there is hardly any need to cache or store stuff, just get it every time you need it. That's the first lesson I learned. And then I slowly started setting up a complete, there's a subsystem for handling SQL, including support for templates and other things. I will show a little bit of that because it's not yet a module, but it becomes a module. Well, there's part of it is in modules, but the tech part is not yet in modules, only the SQL part. Okay, so I have and I do it a bit stepwise, and you don't have to look at all code, yes? Already questions, or?
No, I have a whole different moment, I believe.
Am I doing something wrong? Okay, so you first load the utility SQL module. And there is an already a short story behind that. I told you, I started by using the SQL client. And of course, after a while you say, can it be done faster if I use the MySQL module that comes with Lua? And of course you can't, the library, so to say. Of course you cannot, because, it's probably linked against a different version of Lua or something like that. And after fighting that for, I think, close to a week, I finally said, okay, I'm doing this project with a friend of mine, and he is quite fluent in everything Microsoft and compiling and whatever. And we sat for a couple of days behind this compiling, staring at the things, looking, why isn't this stuff working? And then I found out that, of course, the part of the code of this library was basically, I would say, just crap. I think, I'm not no longer surprised that it doesn't work. Communicated a bit with Taco about it, and he could, get it running on his system, but cross-compiling was a different story. So then it was about time to involve Luigi. And the thing is, I'm always a bit reluctant to ask Luigi, because if I ask him, I know he spent weeks on it and gets it working, so I'm wasting actually his time. Anyway, to make a long story short, we now have a library that works quite well with at least in prototype version, works quite well with LuaTech. I think it works on the other platforms well. You checked it on other platforms, or not yet? Okay, but it's supposed to work also on other platforms, because the method is not different. And the good news is we are going to turn this into a bit of a large scale project for a complete library subsystem that can be used in LuaTech, so that we can easily compile and update and maintain and ship and whatever libraries. But that's a different story. So that's why I now load the library, swiclip, which actually is the methods we use. Now, for SQL, the thing is you have to configure a couple of things. Well, the things out of the box is installed on localhost. Username is normally root. By default, it seems to be secret. And of course, there's always a test database built in, and not being that original, the table that you're making is also called test. So here you see test, table test, and the table has a couple of entries there. So the easy way is to, if you experiment with this kind of stuff, install this, play with it, maybe start playing with the command line, and then fill it with a bit of data. Okay, so back to this, we load the SQL support. We don't look yet here. I define just this is just a table with presets. Nothing special about this. It has a host username, etc., etc. The method you can actually leave out if you want to use the default. So now we're here. Let's run this. I'm running the database on localhost, which is actually not so fast. I've installed it on one of the servers in the virtual machines that we have in the company, and you easily get some 3,000 requests answered per second. So that's quite okay from outside. And typesetting engine that's probably spent most of the time after that in typesetting. Quite okay. So who's who? I ask for select all fields from test. Yeah? So test is this thing. I ask for all the fields from test. Yeah? Not forget for this moment about document converter. I use these presets and execute it, and I get something back. So this is basically all you need then in context to get data from the database. Yeah? I have this table. Now, we have seen this before. I make a tabulate, I give it some headings, I loop over the results, I ask for the name, ask for the location, yeah, and I get this table, name, location, and I have this information. And this is all run from within Tech. There's nothing more needed. You don't need external scripts or external management or whatever stuff. Is this clear, this example? Okay. Of course, we can be a bit more advanced. Just as an illustration, I also moved the start-stop table stuff inside here. Yeah, so if you would see only this, so let's do this, so blah blah. This could actually be a Lua file or a complex CLD file that you just execute. So then you have complete. If most of what you have to do is Lua, you would do it this way. You make a Lua file, you run the Lua file, and all the context is generated from is in the Lua file. Okay, let's first execute this one. It's the second, so we had this one where you get everything. Now we get only guys from the Netherlands. How do we do that? Yeah. Again, we ask for everything from test where location equals Netherlands. You can also say this lowercase because it's case independent, a lookup like this. Same table, same stuff. So of course, if you have to
make it case dependent.
I think
it's
that
a table property.
Is it
the column in the table has a property and you can switch it to case.
I found out that if you use ES, is, I think that one is probably, I got the impression that one is, and this is one of the encoding things I mentioned. The tricky thing there is that this kind of equal stuff, if you haven't set up your tables, let's say as being, for instance, UTF-8, and you use the default, which is normally some kind of system default, then and you feed it UTF-8, actually if you tell it that you feed it as UTF-8, it will normalize it and then do the right compression. If you forget to tell it, it will do the wrong thing. And the same is true for sorting. Sorting also uses these rules. If you really don't want that, you have to define your table entries in a really neutral way, like something like UTF-bin or whatever. Yeah, there's some
UTF-8,
binary or so.
Binary or something.
Yeah. Another thing I found out that, of course, if you do that kind of stuff and you feed anything in there, one of the things you want to do is say, okay, I want to leave the stuff untouched, as is. Now, if you choose for the binary data format, you have another problem. It cannot be compared. So you never get a match if you search something. That's a bit the problem that I ran into there. So, anyway, this is, well, once you fidget it out, and I probably will provide some helpers and other stuff around that, because I think one of the reasons for having some integrated support is that you can then tune it for text usage, for using stuff that is well normally done in text processing. Okay, that table. I mentioned that we have also a template subsystem.
Hans?
Yeah.
How do you handle errors? What happens when you want to access fields that you that don't get returned because the names are different?
Well, there's several answers to that. First of all, I don't test for a result here. I should test for a result. Yeah, I know that the stuff is in the database, and so I play safe. The nice thing about Lua is, in many cases, it's not that sensitive for types, so everything basically comes back as a string, and there's always something. So that's one. But normally I should test if the number of, if there is a result, and if there is results, if there are more than one result, zero results.
That's
the
one.
The second parameter. So
field
I can, so I can do something like local results, comma message, and the message is the error message that you get from SQL. Yeah. So there is some error handling going on there. I must say that the errors that you get back from MySQL are not always that helpful. One really, for me, easy way, if you want to test this kind of stuff, what I normally do, if I'm in doubt, I just copy it, and here you do a query, and then you test if it works. And if it works here, but again, sometimes the messages are a bit confusing, but then it's sometimes better to test it first and then integrate it here. Okay, so
what happens if the field names you access are not the field names you get from the table? What if there is no result.name? Do I get some funny Lua error?
In this case, if the context command gets nil, just ignore it.
Okay.
Yeah, so in this case, it's safe. If you would get, let's say you expect a number and you start doing things with a number and there's no number there, then you have indeed a problem. So I think you always need to add that kind of testing to your code. The conversions, let's say result, can only contain fields that are either asked for or returned. It will not do arbitrary things, because one of the things that the library at a model level does is give you back the list of fields that you got.
Okay.
Because by default, SQL gives back, if you do star, it gives them back in, well, basically any order. And so I think the first thing that you do is ask, what did they actually get back in what order?
Yeah.
Just to make sure that you... I must say that, as I said, I never played with database. This is my first thing. It's quite a fun. It's just something new, and it's so. What's next? Next is, and again, you see this kind of stuff repeated, but this is the kind of stuff that you probably would put in a function to do it once. I again have a template that I feed the SQL machinery. Select whatever from test where locations equals this. MS-DOS user will recognize this, but it actually, I like symmetry, so I didn't use a dollar, I used this one. It's also a nicely to parse. And there can be an additional array with whatever kind of things you want, and they will be replaced. And there's a little bit, it knows that it has to escape stuff and things like that, so that works out well. And that's how I can then ask for all people from Italy. I'm not sure how many people from Italy there are, but there's one. there are a few other things like this kind of stuff. This is actually a symbol by using these quotes. And these are the quotes that you use for strings. So there are a few things that you need to keep in mind if you do this SQL stuff. But you see that it's all more of the same. Once you get the picture, it's relatively easy to. So now we make a function, document get data by location. I feed it the location. Location is passed as variable. This is the template, we have seen this one before. Okay, let's order the stuff by name. that we don't have to do that ourselves. And I call the can call this function. I do it here. So now I've got rid of a lot of the Lua code, yeah. And so Bernd, one of the solutions for your problem could be to use a database.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah.
It would be easier to start it.
Yeah, you need to get it in once,
yeah.
But then at least you can ask very complex queries of combinations and things. Yeah? So now I only have to call this function, I give it a location. Yeah, so some guys from Netherlands and some guys from Italy, one guy from Italy. Okay, so this is, let's say, basically simple data. So how are you going to do this, the more, let's say, techie-like or whatever kind of stuff? For that purpose, actually here I can show this, I won't run this, but it's also possible from within your document, of course, to push stuff into the database. So this is stuff where I put something into the database. I update test and I set data to something. I've already done that, so that we don't have to do that again. If you look in this, where is it? Here. You see that I have a data field, yeah, data, and there's some blurb of code in here. Now, I've been thinking about, okay, in one of the projects that we have to put stuff into the database and get it out and typeset it again. Now, you can store this, of course, as some kind of native field in the database. In our case, you said, wait a minute, what I do is I just define a couple of fields that describe my stuff and are useful from the database perspective, and the other stuff I just put in there basically as Lua code, as a blob of Lua. So what you see is basically a serialized table, return a quote with some extra data. The advantage is that I don't need to adapt my database if I adapt this code, and I can store arbitrary stuff in there without thinking in advance of what I should have that. Think of, for instance, if you want to have log files. Log files can have all kinds of stuff. And if you have one log file table, log table, that is fed with 20 or 30 different kind of log data, then I put the data stuff in just in a Lua table. So let's first process this, see what we get. Yeah. Herman's up. Quote. I like this quote. So how is this done? I select the whole bunch from test where name equals Hans. So name equals Hans. Hans, yes. So I get everything back. Yeah. I can inspect it. That's a general thing for context. You see, this is what I get back. Actually, an ID, a location, table, and some data. And the data is actually a Lua table with there's an author name and a quote. And then I ask for the first element. So this is another of these things, Martin, where you say basically you get back an array of results,
mm-hmm.
And if you ask for one thing, you have to check if you have to take with the first thing. That's all. So I take the first result. This is the quote. Here I use some just regular Lua formatting, I push in the name, and the title is the author. Yeah.
How does context know to do load string?
Yes, that's what I come to now. As we have seen it several times, there was a converter. Now, one of the things that we can do, there are two functions, serialize, deserialize. If I push something in a database, I do a serialize, and if I get it out, so if data was still this string, I would have to deserialize it. Yeah. Now you don't want to do that every time. Where am I here? So I can define a converter. And the converter, the ID will become a number, name will become a string, location is a string, and data will be deserialized.
Okay.
So you define this one. The nice thing is that you also get these fields. You can basically, this is the order in actually, I think in, there's some checking going on, but the order in which you get them, and because this, the converter also generates basically a replacement for the star. So actually you can use this to ask for, let's say, some fields and give them completely different names and get them back. Yeah, that's also a side effect of this. But generally you will use it this way. And that saves you some headaches later on. But that why it knows that it has.
I'd like to be able to hook into that.
You can hook it, you can hook in function.
Write my own deserializer.
Yeah, you can do that because, yes, well, you, of course you can, if this is a function,
okay,
so it will apply the function.
And then you just run the function.
Yeah, so there's a little bit more there then. And if you want to use them, want more, you can add more. Yeah,
okay.
This is, if you look at it, it's not that complex code. It's so this is one of the new things, the database support. And well, maybe some users like it or find it handy to have. Are there any questions about this?
Yeah. At the beginning, you told us that you work with MySQL database.
Yeah.
Will this work also with other databases like PostgreSQL?
Well, the thing is, you can, for instance, think of SQLite, but SQLite has, as far as I know, one disadvantage. It has to run on your particular machine. It's not really multi-user. It's used, but it's basically for one setup. So that's why I never really looked into that. Oracle, well, if somebody pays me enough money to install a huge machine and buy a big license and whatever, I might be tempted to look into it.
You don't have to buy the license for development, but yes.
Yes. Development for the sake of development
useless.
Is useless. So I haven't looked into that. We mentioned MariaDB. That's probably one of the things I will have a look at.
Postgres.
I don't know it. One of the things that I'm that really got me puzzled is you say, okay, SQL standard, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
I look into it. Well, standard. Forget about standard. They all have different data types. One of the things, for instance, I found out that is if you put dates in there, the date conversion mess. So I decided what goes in there is just Unix dates, yeah, and I do my own stuff then. So you really have to. There are these handy small booklets with all these. What is it? The O'Reilly series.
Mm-hmm.
If you tear out half of the pages, you get a bit what the standard SQL is, and I try to stick to that. So in principle, if MySQL works, it should be possible to do the same thing for all the libraries. I haven't looked into that yet, simply because I didn't need it. And well, if you're in an open source project, you're likely to look at an open source database program. So it's actually two things: SQL as a language and supporting it, and SQL databases. And even then, quasi understood that many SQL databases are actually is machinery running on top of a database engine, because MySQL has a lot of different things under it. And but from the user perspective, I think if you look, you know, you can discuss things like performance and whatever. Well, if I get that many hits per second, I'm already glad. So from the tech user's perspective, a robust, simple way to do it. It installs, it works, etc. That's the most important thing. And performance comes after that. And let's say having this big Oracle database, well, having a big Oracle database is a different project. Anyway, there's Microsoft SQL. It's again, it costs a lot of money to run something like that on a machine, so no work for me.
But in this setup, you have chosen it is. I see that let's say template. It is in fact a SQL statement. Did you test for before, for instance, using multiple tables? Because most normally, if you have a database system, you have at least two tables. You will separate the information and the static data, like names and such things, will be separated. So you can make joins of tables. So let's say the complexity of the SQL statement is just pushed through to the SQL database as a string. Then.
This is an example of an external template, just to show you that it can get more complex than in a few lines. Yeah, and again, there are probably some variables there, like dates that I can change. Yeah. Date from, date to. Mm-hmm. It works for complex things too.
Okay.
The thing there is that normally you have to split up the queries because the library expect them one by one. It's all built in.
Okay.
And this gives large tables. Let me see. Yeah, I can find. I'm not sure which file to look at. So this is typically the stuff I ask for a lot of data, and I do my post processing on it. And this is Metapost output. As soon as you have to deal with this kind of stuff, memory is no longer an issue because, well, you have plenty of it. Processing time is not really an issue, you have plenty of it. Tech is always the bottleneck. So, more questions? Okay, so we have a break?
Yeah, great.
Yes.
Sorry after that. Last one, I don't know what gave him at moment. Sorry, last one was like, you don't do this in the branch or bits and hell. Eerst keek we naar het programma en zei van, oh ja, dat is precies wel volgens het programma.
Ja?
En dan gaat hij praten over database.
Nee,
dit
was eigenlijk
niet. Nee, dat was er in de vorm. Zo, het lager.